Really.
Good to see you all here, guys, again. It's a blessing to us. We've just finished having our harvest dinner. A time when we think of the abundance that the Lord has made available to us. Time of Thanksgiving. That the harvest has been so abundant that the food in the supermarkets is cheap enough so that even those of us who are on a tight budget can eat fairly well. What a blessing. And we may not be out there in the farm, but we know that if someone isn't out there sowing the seed, reaping the harvest, we don't eat. The farmer knows that if there's too much rain or not enough rain or frost at the wrong time, he doesn't eat. So when the harvest comes in, we all give thanks. The sower, the reaper, the cook, the eater. Thank you, Lord God, for this abundance. Thank you for the rain and the sunshine and the good soil. Thank you for the food on our table. Thank you that we have enough abundance that we can share with others. Now, this harvest that we celebrate as we have these harvest dinners is a huge parable pointing to another harvest, which Jesus calls the harvest of the kingdom of God. From Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed upon the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He knows not how. The earth produces of itself first the blade, and then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. He's talking about the end of the age. There's a lot to say about this. Another parable from Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable he put before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared also. The servants of the household came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds? He said, an enemy has done this. The servant said, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with it. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. That's pretty heavy. And the disciples are having a problem with this. What does this mean? Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, he who sows the seed is the Son of Man. Field is the world. The good seed means the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and throw them in the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. These are the words out of the mouth of the incarnate Word, the Son of God, incarnate love, who laid down his life for us, and yet he has these scary things to say. Now, between the harvest of food that we celebrate tonight and this harvest that comes at the end of the age is another harvest. The harvest that's in front of our eyes right now, into which every single believer in this gathering is being sent. So even as we celebrate the abundance, as we thank God we ate tonight, and as we live in the shadow of this final harvest, knowing that we're going to be part of it one way or the other, we have to keep in mind and remember the harbor that's in front of our eyes, to which we have been sent and for which we're responsible. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then come to harvest? Lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already ripe for harvest. Lift up your eyes and see, he said. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They don't know which way they're going. They're all over the place. Now, we may not be farmers out there on the fields, but this is our harvest. We belong to Jesus. That harvest is our responsibility. And we have for what we do with this harvest. What we do with it. You know, just as the farmer has to plant, cultivate, water, and ultimately reap, and it's work, so the harvest in which we have been sent is work. It means we're going to work, we're going to sweat, we're going to worry, and we're going to weep. From Psalm 126. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What's this business about weeping? Now, as long as you're sitting on the sidelines watching other people work in this harvest, this business of weeping won't mean very much. What's it a cry about? That once you answer the call and you commit yourself to this harvest and you start reaching out and you start praying for people and you go out of your way to serve them, pretty quickly you will understand what he's talking about. You will weep. You will weep. You know, this idea that, you know, if you serve in the kingdom of God, it's going to be one great big happy time. Everybody's going to be so glad you're a Christian. And they're so thankful that you come with the good news. It's a delusion. That's not how it is. You may not shed actual tears, but you're going to weep inside. You are going to weep with frustration at those hard hearts that aren't getting it. What kind of frustration is your own hard heart that's not getting it? And you're going to weep with disappointment. The people you reach out to, people you work with, and you weep over, you know, things are going good. They're really responding. Things are going great. Suddenly, they're off the other way. You're going to weep with helplessness when you offer the way of life and they choose the way of death. You're going to weep. If you take it seriously, if you get into this harvest, it's not just a bowl of cherries. Sometimes you're going to feel like Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, or like the Apostle Paul weeping for those Galatians. But, you know, look at the, literally, I'm sure, hundreds of disciples took off and left Jesus. By the time he gets to the cross, who's left? Still, he doesn't get bitter. He prays for them. He knows he's hanging there for them, knowing that he's preparing the way for a glorious harvest, which is in front of our eyes right now. Because those who sow in tears will reap in joy.
Amen.
He who goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall without a doubt come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It never fails. It's a divine promise. You go out there weeping with this precious seed, you're going to come back with joy in your heart. You're going to come back with sheaves in your arms. That's how it's going to be. So exactly how do I fit into this thing? We've been in this, many of us here, maybe all of us, for so long, and yet we know that somehow the harvest isn't getting from us what is required. So what do we have to do? Three things. First, you get the seed into your heart. Secondly, you sow it. And then when the time is right, you reap it. Now first you get the seed, which is the Word of God. And you get it not just into your head, but into your heart. You know, there are people who have their heads filled with spiritual words. They can quote the scriptures. They know all the time. But those words never get down to the heart because they keep falling out their mouth before they get there. You know, and then they're like stones. They're dead. The Word of God does not take root in us and become part of our lives until it has a chance to germinate and get hold down in the heart. So it becomes part of our life. And so we have to get it from up here, down here. We don't have the Word of God in us until it's part of our life. So that I'm not just saying to other people, you got to forgive. I forgive. And I'm not just saying to other people, judge not. I have to come to the place where I give up nitpicking, criticizing, condemning everything in sight. So we have to concentrate on getting the Word into our hearts, down into our lives, feeding on that Word every day. So you go to the Bible every day. It should be, you know, the normal thing. Go there for a word from God. Go there and get something. Oh, I don't feel like it. You know, how can I get anything if I don't feel right? You got to discipline yourself. You know, you had your honeymoon. You did get across the Red Sea. Now it's the time to go through the wilderness, and you have to learn to do it when you don't feel like it. And then you come, you have to get fellowship. And in the fellowship, you feed on the Word. Always trying to get this Word, some kind of Word from God. And as we do this, one truth comes into focus above all others. And it boils down to three words. Jesus is Lord. That's the Bible in a nutshell. Jesus is Lord. He died on the cross. He rose again. He's Lord of heaven and earth. And all enemies are going to be put under his feet. So that's the seed. And we have to keep filling our hearts with that seed. That's the truth this world knows nothing about. That's the truth that is able to heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. When you have that truth in your heart, you have seed to sow, and you're under obligation to sow it. Secondly, sow the seed. Even if you have to sow in tears. Because for all the churches and crosses and creeds and Christian radio and Christian TV, very, very few people really know that Jesus is Lord. If you know that he's Lord, if he's Lord in your life, if he's Lord over you, over your possessions, over your tongue, over your attitudes, Lord over you, then you've got seed to sow. You have truth to impart, life to give. And you have no choice but to speak that truth boldly and to live it openly. And soon you discover that when you do this, Jesus is the same now as the scripture said he was. And as we sang tonight, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, despised and rejected. And you will begin to experience some of that rejection yourself. And if you don't, and if I don't, we're missing it. You know, it's all of all the cherries. It's so nice to be a Christian, and so nice to have fellowship with other Christians and to stay away from all those worldly people. Then we rot. Now, some of that seed that you sow as you weep will take. It's not all going to fall by the wayside or among the rocks or among the thorns. Some of it will take root. It will find good soil. This friend that you've been talking to is so low, so depressed. And you tell this friend again that Jesus is Lord. And he's alive. And he cares. And he's going to do something. He really will. Your friend has heard this 100 times, but now your friend, for some reason or other, has a tender heart. And it gets in. Some years ago, some of us were down in Clark Park one night, passing out tracts, trying to talk to people about him. And we weren't getting much of a response. And we get up along Vernon Highway, and here's this guy. He has his black Jeep parked right up on the sidewalk. Police are coming by, going by. They don't bother. They don't get mixed up with what's going on in the north end of Clark Park. We come up to him, and here we are. He says, "What's this, man?" I said, "This is about Jesus." And he says, "About Jesus, maybe it's time for me." He was here the next Sunday. I'm talking about Mike Hall, who prayed a prayer that brought heaven right down on us last night. He's been following Jesus ever since. You don't know where it's going to take. And you don't test the soil to find out if it's worth planting some seed there. You just sow it. And some of it will graft. When the time is right, then you begin to reap. And one day you're going to open your eyes in amazement, and you're going to see this friend that you've been worrying over and praying for and maybe even gave up on standing in the doorway. Now they're ready. And you discover that your tears weren't wasted. "I want what you got. Show me how to get there. Tell me the next step. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who goes forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, bringing her sheaves with you." No doubt one of the greatest joys there is to see this person that you love, or this person that you just met, or this person that somehow God laid on your heart, finding their way to the door of the King. Many of us have seen this. Maybe all of us have seen it, but all of us are satisfied that we've seen enough of it. There's so much more. There's so much more. And the hour is late. We're going to see it. And we're going to experience this. Your friend coming with you to the door of the kingdom and walking in. From darkness to light. From the power of saving God. The most effective harvesting that's going on right now is not taking place in these huge evangelistic rallies, all due respect to that. The most effective harvesting that's going on is taking place at kitchen tables and coffee shops, where people are being harvested one-on-one, and there is somebody out there waiting for you to come along.
Amen.
So, as we thank God for the food we ate tonight, the abundant harvest, may he help us to see the harvest beyond the harvest into which we are being sent, so that we get that seed of his living word into our hearts deeper than it is now, more alive, more strong, more powerful. The minute you're satisfied that you know what it means to say Jesus is Lord, you already begin to stagnate. Who can get to the bottom of that? What does it mean that Jesus is Lord? It's beyond us. It's so deep. And that's the thing we have to put into our hearts every single day. And then we need to sow. And we've got to sow that seed, even when we're faced by these trips and it's where we turn. And maybe we're weeping inside, but we keep on doing it. We get this word. We give the word of encouragement and hope to the people around us. If we do that, it's a promise from God. You sow in tears, you reap with joy. You go forth weeping, bearing the precious seed, and you will return again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves along. You will. One day soon, this harvest will be over. And the real harvest will be here. And he will send out his angels to gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin. And then those who are here will shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father.
Amen.
God help us to see that and live that and make it real to the lives we touch. Let's pray. Lord God, we confess to you that all the gifts that you've given us, all the knowledge that you've imparted to us, all the victories that you won for us are somehow still bottlenecked so that the abundance that comes in is not flowing out with the freedom it should. And we ask that tonight, whatever in us is hindering that free flow of your resurrection life, Lord Jesus, may be dealt with in us at whatever the cost, so that our lives may be a glory to your name and a blessing to the ones that we have been sent to harvest. And we thank you for this, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.